Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be learning together Direi Hayomim Beis Perek Lamed Beis, the 32nd chapter of the second book of Direi Hayomim. Our Perek has 33 psukim in it, and the topic is the miracles against Sancheriv and the end of the life of Yechizkiyahu. The parallel parashios are many in that really this is to be found in the second book of Melachim, Prakim Yud Ches Tuchof, and in Sefer Yeshayahu, Prakim Lamed Vov to Lamed Tes. So really, it's three parallel Prakim in those two Sforim, all pushed into one Perek. Yeah, so you can obviously appreciate that this is a summary and many events are absent in this version, although there are a few new ideas that appear only here in Direi Hayomim. The first eight Psukim describe Yechizkiyahu as he strengthens the city of Yerushalayim. We hear that after these matters, after all these great things, the truth that Chizkiyahu did by strengthening the Beis HaMikdash, we hear about Sancheriv, the king of Assyria, Ashur, comes to lay siege upon Yehuda, and he encamps around their small cities and takes control of them. Chizkiyahu sees this, and therefore he realizes Yerushalayim is in danger, and he consults his officers, his strongman, and he decides to close up the springs that are outside the city, and he gathers everybody together, they close them up, he brings the water to a stop outside the city, lest they have water to use when they come to the siege. He also fixes up the broken walls, he establishes towers, he strengthens the gathering area, the Miloi, by the city of David, by the Ir David. And we hear about how he gathers all the people to the area of the main street, and he speaks to them saying, you know, you should be really strong, you should know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can save you even against the great muscles of Assyria. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can save you against all the odds. And we're told that really the people believed him. The people did rely on him. Now, if you look at the versions elsewhere, you'll see that there were a group of people who weren't so trustworthy of Yechizkiyahu's policies. But nonetheless, in this version, we hear there is a reliance on him. So let's just look at a few things in this first section. And that is, why is Sancheriv coming now? So the Metzudos points out, Radak also says this, that it follows, although that Yechizkiyahu himself is a very righteous king, maybe some of his people aren't so righteous. And therefore, in the context of that, that's why, because they're still a nation which is sinning, they're subject to punishment. The Malbim says quite the opposite. Acharei ha-dvarim ha-em va-emes ha-ele indicates that really they're at such a pristine level spiritually, this cannot be seen as schar v'onesh, as punishment. This must be an expression of Hashem taking advantage of showing a huge miracle which is about to unfold in society through Yechizkiyahu HaMelech, because the people are really truly righteous. It could be that each of these ideas, the Metzudos and the Malbim, are to be true in the sense that there was either destruction which was going on at this time. What happened to the other villages in Yehuda? So Radak points out that they were conquered. It was on Yerushalayim, which was really the last stronghold in this battle and the siege. Why did he block up the spring? So it seems that he needed to, as the Psukim make it clear, that he wanted to block off the enemy's water supply when they besieged Yerushalayim. In fact, when you go on the tunnel tours, you can go on the Yechizkiyahu HaMelech tunnel underneath the city of Yerushalayim, that's where he brought the waters of the spring, the Shiloach, the Silwan, into Jerusalem. It was exactly at this time as well, a major operation. What did the Sanhedrin, what did the rabbis say about this? So the Mishnah at the end of the fourth parak of Brachos tells us this is one of the three things that Yechizkiyahu HaMelech did that was not approved of by the sages. Why did they not approve of it? So the Tiferes Yisrael on that Mishnah in Pesachim explains for two reasons. One, he should have trusted the prophet who said that Yerushalayim would not fall. And number two is because he destroyed a very beautiful part of Israel by blocking up one of the springs in the land of Israel. That's how sensitive one has to be when it comes to that. The Chida points out that in the Avos Rabbi Nosson version of this Mishnah, in fact, they actually did agree with him. So there seems to be somewhat of a debate as to whether this was a good or not a good thing. It's somewhat of an ambiguous point as well. Why was the wall broken that he's fixing up of Yerushalayim? The Malbim explains this is from the times of Yoash of the north, who conquered and destroyed the walls of Yerushalayim from then. How does it compare to the Yeshayahu and Melachim version of the story? So the truth is, if you look at the other versions earlier on in Tanakh, in Melachim Beis and in Yeshayahu, it seems that he sends messengers to Sancheriv and promises to send 300 talents of silver. And then over here we hear Sancheriv coming. So it's interesting that the way that it's understood, the way the Malim unpacks this, is that he first has this conference with Sancheriv and promises to pay the money as a way to buy time. Once he's bought time, now he has the opportunity of strengthening Yerushalayim for the war, which was imminent when he doesn't end up sending the money in. And that's what's going on over here. So you need to put both the narratives next to each other to understand that. Now, so what happens is Sancheriv goes and he sends his servants to Yerushalayim. And in the meantime, Sancheriv is besieging Lachish, which is a city in Yehuda. And his servants are outside Yerushalayim. And he sent the following message. Very clear message. He says, why are you trusting in the siege of Yerushalayim? He's turning to the people of Yerushalayim and he says, Yechizkiyahu is seducing you against me, but you're going to die in a famine and in thirst against me, because who is going to save you from the king of Assyria? What? Look what Yechizkiyahu Melech did for you. He removed all these altars of the Assyrian culture. Remember, Ahaz, his father, brought them in. So why is it that he's removing those? Is there any nation which has prayed to its God and has succeeded in standing up to Assyria? And the answer everybody knows is no. Assyria is so powerful, there is no stopping them whatsoever. And he asks them, he says to them, in the end of the day, don't let Yechizkiyahu take you away and seduce you to bring you to a terrible end. And talks about how his other servants continued to curse them and Yechizkiyahu, and they sent Svarim, they sent in scrolls, which were sent in to curse Hashem and the God of Israel, and they sent these in to the city, asking them and saying, who is going to save you now? The call Godol Yehudis, they called out in a Judean voice or the Judean language to scare them and to make them confused in order to conquer the city. So this is what's going on right now. By the way, a few basic questions. What happened in Lachish? So the truth is Lachish is a major city in Yehuda, in Judea, and it fell to Sancheriv. Sancheriv was in charge of that. The king was actually in charge here. And he sent his representative to this city called Rav Shakei to Yerushalayim in the meantime. In fact, in the British Museum today is what's called the Lachish Relief. The Lachish Relief was actually to be in the throne chamber of the king of Assyria, and it depicted a relief of how they conquered the city of Lachish. You can still see today the siege ramp that Sancheriv used to conquer the city of Lachish, taking most people prisoner and torturing the leaders to death. The city was desolate there afterwards. So this is a really serious time right now as well. It's also worthwhile noting, what are these scrolls? So if you read in the Melachim version, it describes how he sends in these scrolls with a similar kind of message, cursing the gods of Israel, the God of Israel, and cursing the people and the leaders of Israel. And Yechizkiyahu took this very seriously, and he brought them into the Mikdash to consult whether he should take these seriously as well. What does it mean he spoke in a kol gadol yehudis, in a loud Judean voice? Rashi says this was a scare tactic. He was using psychological warfare. And the reason this is important to also know is that Rav Shakei, who is the first person sent, the first Assyrian leader sent to scare Yerushalayim, was in fact a assimilated Judean himself, which is why he was the spokesperson and why he could speak in this language, because he was able to understand the culture and therefore utilize it against them as well. Okay, and there's the taunts are in more full scale if you read Sefer Melachim and Sefer Yeshayahu. In the end of the day, at this point from Sukkim Chav to Chav Gimel, we hear Yechizkiyahu, he prays to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeshayahu Ben Amots prays to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They call out to heavens, and Hashem sent an malach vayechached kol gibor chayil v'nagid. So Hashem wipes out all their soldiers. And at night, and the Mephoshim said it was the night of Pesach, and the king of Ashur returns to his kingdom in embarrassment, and he is killed by those Yetzei Me'ov, those who come from his loins, meaning his own children, killed him. And the pasuk describes how HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves all of Israel, and everybody pays homage to Yechizkiyahu for this as well. What actually happened? The Josephus in Antiquities quotes that there was a plague which was sent. So meaning to say this malach was in the form of a plague, is the way it's interpreted then. Why did his sons kill him? So it could be that his sons were felt that he was that he was weak, and therefore, and this is an embarrassment, so they killed him. The Radak suggests that maybe they were trying to recreate the notion of Akedah. They felt, what is the strength of this people? Oh, they had human sacrifice. Maybe we will utilize human sacrifice and it'll work as well. We're near in the next three psukim, Chof Dalet to Chof Vov, about the sickness of Yechizkiyahu Melech. He is about to die. Then he prays to Hashem. Hashem sends a son, and he was able to succeed. And because of this, he was humbled, and the punishment did not come in the times of Yechizkiyahu. Now, this is a full perek. This side comment here is a full perek in both Menachem and Yeshayahu. There's much more to it. The Gemara in Brachos Daf Yudam Beis tells us famously that the reason why he got sick was because he decided not to have children, because he saw his son would be a Menashe, a terrible king. In fact, he was. And that's why he was decreed to die. The Yeshayahu Navi famously came to give him the verdict, and he explained to Yechizkiyahu HaMelech, "Behadi kavshin rachmona lamalach, you don't have the right to change Hashem's plans, even though you think you know that there's going to be something bad, but your responsibility is to have children, to follow the rules of Hashem, and Hashem will take care of the rest." And ultimately, he begged for his life. Yeshayahu Navi said it was too late, but then he begged that he could marry the daughter of Yeshayahu. He did, and he prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem actually listened and allowed him to live for years afterwards. So this is a remarkably dramatic moment in Jewish history as well. When did he get sick exactly? So Rashi in Sefer Yeshayahu says that it was 3 days before the fall of Sancheriv, which means that his sickness and the siege of Jerusalem were actually concurrent events. The Mamim explains that that's because a person has three enemies: a physical enemy from the outside, a physical enemy from the sickness of the body, and a spiritual internal enemy, that's the middle of a person. And Yeshayahu is saying that the first two converge upon him at the same time. That was to fix his enemies. He needs to fix the internal and external enemies as well. Finally, we're told about from Sukkim Chav Zayin to Lamed Aleph that he has great amounts of wealth, and describes the fields and his cattle and his produce and all the things that he sets up and builds, and how successful he is. What is interesting is in the last pasuk in this section in Lamed Aleph, we're told that there were many other people from other kingdoms, including the Babylonians, who came to test him and to see what was in his heart, and asked to see his storehouses. This, the Malim points out, if you look in Sefer Yeshayahu in more detail, refers to the time when they came, and Yechizkiyahu Melech very arrogantly took them to his storehouses and showed all his great supplies, and because of that, Yechizkiyahu Melech was punished. And finally, we hear the last two psukim of the Perek, Lamed Beis to Lamed Gimel, how he really was a great king, despite one or two small concerns that we saw earlier on. And when he was buried, they made for him a great kavod. For kavod also lo b'moisa kol Yehuda. He was a really righteous and tremendous king for the nation of Israel and Yehuda as a whole, a uniter and a spiritual reformer. With this, we close Perek Lamed Beis in Sefer Dvarei Yamim Beis, and it needs to be obviously read in context of Menachem Beis, Prakim Yudches to Chav, and Yeshayahu Lamed Vav to Lamed Tes. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.